but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, last year, Oregon was a 45-point favorite at home against the Idaho Vandals, and then you picked your head up, and it was a 17-14 game with like 8 minutes left, and we were all like, wait, what is going on right now? All right, so a year later, they went 13-0, right? They went 13-0, lost in the Rose Bowl to Ohio State. 2025 comes around, and an FCS team, a good FCS team, is coming into Autzen again. How is Oregon going to handle it this time? Well, that's question number one. And who are these guys? Montana State Bobcats. Let's learn a little bit more about them. Victor Flores covers Montana State football with 406 Sports out in Montana, and he's plugged in with it. Victor, thanks for making time. How are you?
Great. I'm really looking forward to this game. I am an Oregon grad, in fact. So this game is a meeting of both of my college world and my professional world. So it's going to be a lot of fun to cover.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. What's your era of Oregon football?
Oh, Marcus Mariota. I was a 2014 grad, so I got to see. I didn't see the national championship game, or I wasn't there for the national championship loss to Ohio State, but got to see him for a couple of years. The first national championship game was my freshman year against Auburn and Michael Dyer, and in that game that everybody knows well. So. Right around that time, Michael James, DeAnthony Thomas, a lot of those guys.
Yeah, I don't remember the Michael Dyer game at all. Very strange. this game's on the schedule. You had to have been looking forward to it personally to get back to Autzen and see this. But what does it mean for Montana State to get this opportunity against the Ducks from week one?
Yeah, you know, they're not saying too much right now, at least. That is, you know, or, you know, we can't wait. I mean, there've been some decent comments and some funny comments here and there, but mostly, you know, they've kind of haven't gotten to that point necessarily of, okay, we're fully in game week. But I think they all know that it's a good opportunity for them to showcase themselves. They got to play Oregon State at Providence Park up in Portland a couple of years ago in 2022 and got blown out in that game, showed some signs of life, especially in the first half, but Oregon State, especially offensively, really had their way. So I think they would like a little bit of revenge for that, although I don't think they're fully thinking about that game in regards to this one, at least from what they've said. But I think that one was a good tune-up for some of the guys who are still on the team, of course. And I think they're just excited to see what this level is like and to really see where they're at, because there are a lot of questions about this team and can they return to the FCS National Championship game. And I think this is going to be a great litmus test. Maybe not the best litmus test as far as can they compete on the FCS level, but a good litmus test for where they are and can they compete with the big dogs.
Yeah, compared to last year's team, I'm familiar with Tommy Mellott and his story and how good a quarterback he was. And now he's getting a chance at the NFL too. And he's a great player to root for, but he's gone. But what else is coming back and what's the makeup of this team that did go to the FCS national title last year?
Yeah, they have Brent Vegan, their head coach, coming back. There were some rumors that he might go to Washington State, or, you know, it sounded like he was pretty close to that, or at least was in pretty serious talks there. And there were a couple other openings, and every year he's in talks, or in rumors at least, for openings at the FBS level. But he's back, and that's huge because they lost a lot of their coaches too, both coordinators. They lost a ton of their best players. Brody Greedy on the defensive side was a conference defensive player of the year, and a ton of other guys, captains, offensive lineman Marcus Weir, one of the best offensive linemen at the FCS level. So, but they do return guys like Titan Fleischman, an all-conference offensive lineman, Paul Broad and Kenneth Eiden on the defensive line are both captains and all conference guys. So they do have a lot of talent. They have a new quarterback, of course, with Milot being gone, and some good skill players. Taco Dowler, would be remiss to not mention him. He's one of the best returners, punt returners in the nation at the FCS level, and a really good receiver. So Adam Jones, their running back, is a preseason conference player of the year. So they have a lot of good talent. It's just Ham is the talent, and some players that we don't know, but I've heard good things about. You know, we think they're going to be pretty good. It's just, can they, how well can they replace so many good seniors and guys who entered the transfer portal?
Hey, you talk about, you know, losing so many guys. It's just kind of the day and age of college football. You're, especially in the FCS, you're going to lose a lot of your good players. But you, like you said, they return a good running back. The quarterback's a question. Looks like they had five different guys throw a pass in their scrimmage on the 16th. Looks like Justin Lampson kind of leading the way. Quarterback controversy, quarterback competition going on. How's that looking for Montana State? And can any of them be somewhat productive against, you know, a fast but inexperienced Oregon defense?
Yeah, Lampson is what I would say from all I've gathered. We haven't gotten a ton of information from the team. They've been pretty coy and just haven't wanted to announce who the starter is yet. But based off of all the tea leaves and what we've seen, he's the front runner to get the job, and a former Stanford player, a backup there, but FBS guy who has looked good in fall camp. And, you know, that scrimmage, he completed 16 of 18 passes. So he's just kind of put it all together. Really just seems like he understands the offense well and knows how to kind of just operate it effectively. And is a good runner, which is we haven't seen because they are no contact, of course, in fall camp. So but it remains to be seen just how good he can be. You know, at Stanford, he was almost a run-only guy when they brought him in. So that will be interesting to see, okay, how effective of a runner can he be? Tommy Milot ran a 4.39 40 at his pro day, and that got him drafted by the Las Vegas Raiders. So I don't think Lampson is quite that fast. I don't think any quarterback that I've ever seen and probably ever will cover is quite that fast. But I think he can run effectively enough, no doubt, from what we've seen at the FBS level. So I think, you know, there's Chance Wilson is also in the running. Patrick Duchesne and a couple second, third-year guys. Sophomores, I believe, are both their years. It's hard to keep track of what the actual eligibility is for some of these guys, but both guys who have been in the program and have shown a lot of promise. But I think right now, as it stands, Lampson looks like the guy.
We're talking to Victor Flores, covers Montana State football. Victor, you know, a lot of the Idaho-Oregon game from last year finishes 24-14, and it was 17-14 down the stretch. Oregon was a massive, massive favorite. But a big reason for that was Idaho's defensive line was way better than we probably thought. And Oregon's offensive line was way more vulnerable than we thought going into week one. I guess, you know, the question on Oregon's O-line this year is yet to be answered. There's reason to be optimistic. But tell me about what Montana State brings defensively and particularly up front this year. And what kind of threat could they pose? I know Oregon will be taking them very seriously because of what happened a year ago.
Yeah, and it's funny. I've been telling people up here that I could see this game, at least if this game is going to be close, I think it could look a lot like that Idaho game, where the defensive line is able to just cause enough havoc for Oregon's offense that Oregon doesn't score a million points like they're used to. So, and different teams, of course, different types of linemen, but Montana State has, as I mentioned, Eiden and Paul Broad, a couple of all-conference guys, Broad being an interior D-tackle and Eiden being a defensive end, and then Alec Eckert, a huge, big, strong guy, Washington State transfer. He's their other tackle, and then they have a kind of a rotation at the end, but Hunter Parsons is the main guy there, and he's also got a ton of experience and a really good player from what he's done so far. So they're really solid. That's the least big question. The smallest question they have is, if can the defensive line be good? So I think, yeah, if Oregon has any concern, if Oregon fans have any concern, that would be it. Certainly not predicting that Montana State defensive line is going to have their way or play great. It remains to be seen where they stack up against an Oregon. But yeah, they're really solid, and their linebacking core is pretty experienced and good, too.
So Brent Vigen is the head coach. You know, what's he like? Is this a rah-rah guy? Is this, you know, obviously he's got to have some toughness to him to be coaching at a place like, Montana State. I see as North Dakota State background as well, so that had to have been special in a way and heartbreaking in a way to lose to those guys in the title game.
Yeah, and man, they have tortured their former coach and player quite a bit since he's been at Montana State. They lost to Montana State, lost to North Dakota State in 2021 in the national title game, and then a really heartbreaking loss in overtime two seasons ago in the playoffs as well. So Vegan has yet to beat his alma mater. So yeah, he'd love to get a chance at them at some point again, but he is not a rah-rah guy, I would say. He certainly has his moments that we occasionally see, you know, camera shots or the team will release. We don't see the locker room, obviously, too much, but when the moments we've seen, he can be pretty fiery, but overall, pretty even keel, pretty no-nonsense, all business, but I think he kind of has that steady ship kind of way of going about him, not, you know, too high, not too low, and he knows how to coach for sure. He knows how to really operate a program well, get kind of everything in order, get everything organized. So, he's been Montana State fans have been thrilled with him. They've really turned a corner and really leapt kind of in the upper echelon since he got here back in 2021.
You know, I think of Jason Eck with Idaho last year, and everybody got wind of the Vandals with that week one game. Now he's at New Mexico, so he took the next step up. Do you get the sense that Brent Vegan is going to have the next step awaiting him? Obviously, this season we'll have something to say about that. But, you know, like you said, he's still there, and he's still doing it. But what do you sense the timeline is like for him, how long he can remain at Montana State before he gets the next opportunity?
Yeah, I mentioned Washington State a little earlier, and from all I've heard, and I, you know, he hasn't told me off the record or anything what his plans were, but from all I've heard, that was pretty close. That was very close to him taking that job. So I don't think, he's going to be in Bozeman forever by any means. It doesn't mean he necessarily will leave right away or after this year. I think, you know, he definitely wants to find the best opportunity for him and his family next. He does have two sons on Montana State now, a quarterback who's a true freshman, and then a redshirt junior, defensive end. So that might also maybe, you know, determine some things for him as far as where he wants to go or when he wants to leave. But like I said, I think based off of previous years, I think he's definitely open to moving up to a higher level. But, you know, again, I think it depends on the situation.
Offensive scheme and style for those of us that haven't really watched a lot of Montana State football, what are they going to be lining up like?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a question mark as far as totally what it'll look like, just because they have a new offensive coordinator this year, Pete Sturbick. He came from Colorado School of Mines, and they want to pass more than they have. They've been one of the best running teams in the FCS up there with really a triple option team at Davidson as far as the best running teams in the nation, but they run a little bit more of a RPO game, a little bit more of what you see than a triple option, of course, but that's what they've done, and they don't plan to really move away from that with a really good offensive line and a couple of really good running backs, and just that's how Vegan has kind of operated in his career, and you know, they're not going to diverge too much from that by all accounts, but definitely want to pass a little more, and they know that they don't have, you know, again, a 4-3-9 guy running quarterback back there, so I think that will just necessitate them to pass a little bit, and probably more short passing and possession passing, you know, find the open space is what we've kind of been told, you know, not maybe air raid, you know, air it out type, and still a run first team, no doubt. And I imagine in this game, they will probably want to lean on that more than get a brand new quarterback and have him throw it all over the yard. But this will be an interesting to see. This game will be interesting to see, okay, how much do they kind of stick to the old script and how much do they plan to throw it a little bit more?
It's Oregon week one to start the year in a true road game. It's Montana in the regular season finale in Missoula. Just, I always am, I'm always envious of the atmosphere at Montana State, Montana games. What's that rivalry like?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to describe. And, you know, I think for people who grew up in Montana, they could certainly really explain it, you know, especially with some of the previous games that have happened. But I remember 2021, my first Cat Grizz Brawl of the Wild game that I went to in Missoula, where the Grizzlies play. Getting there and thinking, okay, yeah, I heard so many things about this, but how good can it be? 25,000 people in the stands. I've been at Austin Stadium many times. I saw them take down Andrew Luck with a huge crowd. I mean, you know, I've seen the Civil War there, or the, you know, the Oregon State rivalry, I should say now. But I've seen those, you know, really good crowds, and the Grizzlies scored a touchdown on the second play from scrimmage, and I have not heard a crowd pop like that in my life. I mean, it was truly incredible. And Bobcat Stadium, when the Bobcats host, has been just as loud, basically, other than maybe the acoustics in Washington Grizzly Stadium up in Missoula being a little bit better. So it's remarkable, and the passion, I think, is just second to none. I mean, these people up here love football. There is no pro team even close to Missoula or Bozeman. There's really no other D1 team anywhere within the, you know, 800 miles, 8-hour drive. I mean, Boise State maybe being the closest, obviously over there where you guys are. I mean, there's really, it's far away from everything. Denver, you know, is kind of close, but not really for most people. So they get to monopolize the state, and the passion is incredible. And it's really fun to cover because there's not a lot of passion like this anywhere in the country, I would say.
How's the program pivoting or evolving in this new world order of college football?
Oh yeah, that's a very complicated, tricky question for sure. But I think they're lucky in the sense that they get a lot of Montana players, and the Montana players are good enough to contribute at the FCS level and be their best players. And really, since I've covered them, there hasn't been a single Montana player transfer to an FBS program, certainly ones that have dropped down. But they are very loyal to Montana for family reasons, for friend reasons, for whatever the reason. There's so many reasons. They, you know, the rivalry, just the passion of football in Montana. And so far, I mean, it probably will change at some point. I know a Grizzly player transferred to Texas who was from Montana, so it's not like it can't happen. But that's their bread and butter, and they really dominate the state in recruiting. Both schools are good in recruiting, but Montana State's been very good at that, and that helps stem it. And I think with the out-of-state guys, you know, they just try to develop them and get them as good as they can be, and I think they understand that some of these guys will leave, and, hey, just keep recruiting, just keep getting the best guys, have the next man up, be ready for when their time is called. They might just be ready a little earlier. It's a struggle, but they do have a Bobcat collective, a NIL collective, and they are opting into the house settlement. So they are adjusting and embracing, at least, or accepting the landscape where it is right now, and, you know, willing to pay the money that it takes. And they have good booster support, and they just built an indoor facility and have some really good facility projects that they've worked on over the years. So they're doing everything they can to attract talent and to retain talent as best they can.
Victor Flores, 406 Montana Sports, covering Montana State football. Last thing for you, Victor, you know, obviously game week is officially next week, so you may not have a sense of this quite yet. Timing for the Bobcats getting out here, how early do they plan to travel and kind of get the lay of the land in Eugene for this game? And are they preparing at all for the crowd noise at Autzen Stadium?
Yeah, you know, we haven't gotten there yet. That's something we'll certainly get a better answer Monday when they do their game week press conference. We'll be asked a couple questions to the players today about Oregon, but they're still pretty, soon into it, or just kind of getting into, not just getting into it, but early in their process of preparing for Oregon. They usually go out, I believe, on Friday, or they land for road games on Friday. It might be Thursday. Don't quote me on that, but I believe it's Friday, and I think that's probably what they'll do for this one as well. I still haven't determined when they'll get out there, but I'm certain they will try a little bit to deal with crowd noise. But I do imagine, though, that with their home games and the raucous crowds that they face whenever they go to Missoula and then some of the playoff games that they've gone to, that they might not be too worried about that. And especially with Austin maybe not being as, you know, at peak Austin either for an FCS game. It doesn't mean it won't be loud. I'm sure it will be. But, but they might try some piping and crowd noise and things like that. But they are lucky in a sense that they do get some big crowds very often and get to experience that to some extent.
Well, I'm excited for you to come back to Autzen, cover a game. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, like I said, it's really cool. I'm glad I was able to to get to cover this game, and it will be, you know, it will be interesting to see a team that, you know, the school I went to. I'm certainly, you know, an objective journalist and all that, but be lying if I didn't say there's still some a part of me or a big part of me that still wants Oregon to win. But I will say if Montana State pulls off an upset, I will not be bummed to cover that. That would be one of the best sporting events and stories I'll ever get to write. So that would be a pretty good consolation prize. But yeah, I'll be very professional and all that. But it's going to be still fun to at least be back in Eugene and see you know, all the places I used to go to, and hopefully meet up with some people that still live there.
Well, crazier things have happened, and crazier things almost did happen last year. So I guess you can never say never. Victor Flores, a reporter at 406 Montana Sports. He's at Victor Flores 406 on Twitter X, covering Montana State football. Thanks for the time, man.
Yeah, no, appreciate you guys having me on.
There he is. Good stuff. I always like getting the Montana State perspective ahead of week one. And if you're, you know, an Oregon fan, you're hoping that you take control early, maybe put up 17 points by the end of the first quarter instead of the end of the fourth quarter, and, you know, try to put this one away. We'll wrap up the show. Coming up next, Judah Newby, Stephen Vaughn here on the Bald-Faced Truth, 750 The Game, BFT Radio Network.